You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Joining me, as always, my co-host in crime, Rob Rang. Happy Wednesday to all of our listeners. Whether this is your first time listening to Locked On Seahawks or you're a regular listener, glad to have you on board. Another jam-packed show coming your way. There's a pass rusher that's visiting in Seattle as we speak. Looking forward to breaking down that potential fit. Plus, we'll be checking out some safeties in our latest NFL draft preview. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. Stop me if you've heard this before, Rob. The Seahawks are interested in Alden Smith. He's never played for the Seahawks, but it seems like there's been consistent interest. And it's understandable why when you look at what Alden Smith is. He has incredible length, size, athleticism. He's the complete package. You can make an argument he's one of the most talented pass rushers that has ever played in the NFL. The issue has been all of his off-field problems that led to him not playing a single snap from 2016 to 2019. Then he makes a comeback, plays for the Cowboys last year, 5 sacks and 50 quarterback pressures. How many people would you find that played in the NFL that can take 4 years or more off and then return and play at that level? It's just an incredible talent. And the Seahawks have had interest in him dating back to when he was trying to make his comeback last year. They were interested in trading for him at the trade deadline, ended up getting Carlos Dunlap. Now they have him in Seattle today for a visit. So there's a potential for them to add another talented weapon to their pass rush.
A really talented weapon, Corbin. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's easy to see why Seattle would be intrigued by Alden Smith. I mean, for all of the different things that you just mentioned, the length, the speed, the ability to come off the edge and really be a difference maker, you know. And then I think that it just kind of appeals to Pete Carroll's sense of trying to help young men kind of right the ship. You know, we've seen the way that Seattle has tried to kind of wrap their arms around, you know, other players in the past that have dealt with, you know, off-field issues. You know, the wide receiver, Josh Gordon, I think is the one that everybody is going to focus in on. But, you know, some of these other college players, when Seattle drafted Frank Clark and all the questions that people had about him and what a, you know, a quality person off the field that he matured into, you know, during his time here in Seattle, that is something that Pete Carroll has always kind of preached. It's one of the things that he kind of talked about when he was at USC and really kind of walking through the streets of deep Los Angeles to try to help young people, whether they be involved in sports or not, really kind of, again, become better human beings. So I think that this is a player that the Seahawks are interested in because he absolutely is a terrific edge rusher. I think that they're also interested in trying to help him become a better human being as well. And then I think the combination of the two could help put that many more victories up there for the Seahawks as well. So to me, this is it's not surprising development. At the same time, I think it's also one the Seahawks fans should be pretty excited about because Alden Smith proved last year in all 16 games for the Dallas Cowboys last year after, as you mentioned, sitting out for 4 years and having a pretty darn successful year. What would have happened if he had had DeMarcus Lawrence opposite him the entire time? I think his numbers would have been that much more impressive.
It really was an incredible comeback story when you consider all of the issues that Alden Smith has had with substance abuse and domestic violence incidents. There was the time that he was in the airport and there was a TSA officer that was claiming that he told him he had a bomb on him and ended up having the charges dropped eventually. But I mean, just constant issues off the field. And so that's why I'm going to pump the brakes here just a little bit, because Mike Fisher pointed out the Seahawks made an offer to Alden Smith last month in mid-March and things fell through because he's dealing with, in quotes, issues. And that immediately raised red flags for me because, again, this is a guy that has had a lot of problems off the field, and he was able to overcome those to make it back to the field last year and play for the Cowboys and have a really good season. But if the Cowboys are unwilling to re-sign him now, and that's what Fisher was indicating, is that they have closed the door on him coming back, that makes me wonder what is going on in his life right now. And when you consider his past, that would worry me a little bit. But the Seahawks apparently were bringing him in for a visit, despite the fact things fell through last month. They still are very much interested, obviously, because of the big-time talent. And as you mentioned, Pete Carroll does have a draw to trying to help people, and he's got a pretty good track record. There have been times that it hasn't worked out, but he's brought in plenty of players that had lengthy histories of character issues that ended up turning things around. And based on what I heard from other sources, when Alden Smith was in Dallas last year, he was a great soldier. They didn't have any issues with him. And so I don't know what's going on in his life. I don't know any specifics on the issues, but certainly that is one reason why I would temper expectations on something getting done. The other reason is that we've got the compensatory pick deadline coming up. The Seahawks may be looking at this as a situation where, can we sign you on May 3rd when this doesn't count against comp picks anymore? So there's a couple variables at play here that could prevent a signing from happening quickly.
That's a really good point. I think that absolutely would be something that Seattle might be considering. And you kind of touched on this. I mean, is there an owner in the NFL more competitive than Jerry Jones? And Jerry Jones kind of has always played with that same type of mentality that the late, and I would say late great, Oakland Raiders owner Al Davis kind of said, "We just win, baby." And if Jerry Jones is washing his hands of Alden Smith, then I think that is a little bit of an indication that Alden Smith has definitely still some of those skeletons in his closet that Seattle is going to want to very much vet as much as possible before they bring him in. Of course, you're not doing any damage by just having a conversation with him. And again, what a talented football player that he is. So I think that it's a wise move on Seattle's part to be taking a peek here. They know him as just about as well as anybody, considering the way that Alden Smith was just a ferocious player off the edge while there with the San Francisco 49ers for all of those years. And again, Pete Carroll and his track record of kind of focusing on players like that, to me, it makes a lot of sense. You do definitely have some nervousness about it though, just because Alden Smith is very much a player that, can you trust him off the field? And do you feel like you have the leadership in the locker room? You once did. You once had those type of guys that might be able to kind of wrap their arms around this young player, but you've lost some of the guys that you trusted most on that defense to be those kind of leaders. The KG Wright, is he going to be able to come back? Jaron Reed is one of those guys who was one of the toughest, meanest, nastiest guys in the locker room that not very many people were willing to step up to him. Alden Smith will step up to anybody. And so that's the thing, is that I think that Seattle is missing kind of guys like that who kind of had that nastiness and how they played. But at the same time, you have to be really careful. That's a really fine line to be trying to balance.
And he's not a puppy anymore. He's 31 years old. So it's not like we're talking about a 23, 24-year-old player like the 49ers were trying to deal with when he was there. And this is a guy that was the fastest player ever to 30 sacks in NFL history. And so it's not like the 49ers wanted to move on from him. He just could not stay out of trouble. The Raiders dealt with the same issues, and they hung on to him all the way to 2018. And then they finally like, look, you haven't played for 2 years. You just got in trouble again. We're going to cut ties. And so that lengthy track record, you want to believe that Alden Smith is going to be able to stay out of trouble. He was able to do it last year for Dallas. But again, the fact the Cowboys now are turning the other cheek when he's coming off an impressive season at that, that's concerning to me. We don't know all the details. The Seahawks are going to do the vetting that they need to. They're going to have some honest conversations with the player. And if everything works out, then you add another quality veteran to your pass rush. If not, this clearly indicates the Seahawks would like to add one more pass rusher. They'll have an opportunity to do so either in free agency with other players, or they might go that avenue in the draft even with only 3 picks. We'll just have to see how it pans out, but certainly they are still very interested in Alden Smith at this time. When we come back in the second quarter, we're late into the – when we return in the second quarter, Rob and I will be dishing out 5 steps to cap off the Seahawks offseason. What do they need to do to build the best roster possible heading into the 2021 season? Don't go away. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Are you looking for a way to boost your workout game? Are you seeking a delicious protein bar without the sugar and carbs? enter in the Built Bar, 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. Some of the best ones, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, apple almond crisp, peanut butter, double chocolate. You're going to have a tough time eating just one. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft, easy to chew. It's great for the health conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're great for a keto diet. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. It's your host, Corbin Smith. Joining me for our Wednesday show, my co-host in crime, Rob Rang. We're covering everything you need to know about the Seahawks, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. We are now more than a month into the NFL 2021 offseason. It's been kind of a lull the last few weeks. We haven't seen teams doing too much. Everybody's getting geared up for the draft, which is now roughly 2 weeks away. Once we get past the draft, there'll be another flurry of activity, and then rosters will be set for the most part, and we'll be heading into whatever the offseason program is going to end up looking like, and then eventually training camp. So, Rob, you and I were discussing this a few days ago, and we decided it's time to revisit our offseason plans and try to figure out what John Schneider, the rest of the front office, can do to really cap off the strongest offseason possible, get this roster ready to compete for a Super Bowl in 2021. So without further ado, what is the first step that needs to be done here to continue overhauling this roster?
Well, I think broadly, Corbin, the biggest thing is you have to make your quarterback happy. And I think that Seattle did a big, service or took a big step in doing that with the trade for Gabe Jackson. But I still think that finding a long-term solution at the center position is something that the club absolutely has to do. Now, it's possible that Ethan Posick or the Kyle Fuller, the two centers currently on the roster, at least the two centers that are listed on the roster, and we've talked before about the possibility of Damian Lewis switching over as well. It's possible, again, that center is already on the roster. But I just look at this draft class as being one of the absolute best I've ever seen at the center position. I think that there is 5, 6, maybe even 7 future starting centers available. And of course, it not being a premium position in a lot of other people's perspectives, that there's a possibility that at least a couple of them are going to be available at number 56 overall, maybe even a little bit later. So to me, that would be the very first step, is again, just rewarding your core, or I would just say, just making your quarterback feel a little bit more comfortable in the pocket and be able to have a long-term center that is going to, again, be able, somebody that you can build your whole offensive line around. And you have some bigger concerns, I think, long-term at some of the other positions, maybe offensive tackle, for example. But I think right now, that would be the position I would focus in on, that Seattle needs to upgrade to really have their offseason earn that A, as you just mentioned.
I think I could probably have this as step one and step two. That's how important it is to me. You have got to find your long-term starter at center. Now, maybe he is on the roster. Maybe it is Damian Lewis. Maybe they still believe Ethan Posick's that guy. The contract doesn't suggest that, but he's on a prove-it deal. If he has a really solid 2021 season, then maybe Posick is your long-term starter at the position. But I'm with you. You've got to take advantage of this draft class, even with 3 picks. There's so much talent at that position. This is easily, for me, and I haven't been covering the draft as long as you have, but this is easily the deepest, most talented center class that I have seen. And so you want to take advantage of that. There are a number of players that are going to be good scheme fits for the Seahawks at that position. There's a number of guys that can win with physicality. There are some really athletic centers in this group that could excel in zone-centric schemes. And so there are a lot of options on the table. You would like to be able to take advantage of that. And, you know, if Damian Lewis is your guy, then there's a lot of really good guards in this draft class, too. You could draft your next right guard and plug him into the lineup. So there's some flexibility there. But regardless of what path they take, they have got to figure out who is going to be the long-term solution at the center position. Now, to me, the second big step, I'm going to move away from roster needs here for a minute. You need to extend Jamal Adams. Get it done. I don't think this is a contract situation that you want looming over your heads going into training camp, because I really believe Jamal Adams will hold out if he does not have a new deal. I don't think if Jamal Adams has a new contract when training camp opens late July, early August, that he's going to be showing up. You need to get that taken care of. As much as they invested in trading for him and the way he played the last month and a half while playing injured at that, the energy that he brings to the table, the way the rest of the defense fed off of his presence, you need to be paying him. And I know it's going to be a costly contract, but you had to know that when you traded for him. And so that, to me, has got to be one of the big things right now. I know there are plenty of people out there that think maybe they should just move on from him 1 year after trading for him. I am not at all in that camp. I think he's a game changer on defense. He's got to be one of those foundational blocks for your team. Get him paid with that unique skill set. Get it done as soon as possible.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. I think that, again, just the investment that Seattle made in the first place, what a unique talent that he is, just in terms of his speed, his production, and then just his mentality, as you talked about. I mean, he is one of the most intense players out there. We kind of talked about this before, that, you know, Seattle needs those kind of difference-making kind of defensive players, and he was really one of the sparks that kind of led to Seattle's defense really making that, frankly, historic change that it did a season ago, going from one of the statistically worst defenses in league history to being one of the best, most productive, at least pass rushing defenses in all of the NFL towards the end of last season. That said, I do think that you have a little bit more time with Jamal Adams. I'd like to think from Seattle's perspective that he would not hold out. I think that it's very valid that he may very well do that. But I would argue that an even more pressing concern is at the strong side linebacker position. I think that whether you are trying to bring back KJ Wright, which I am very much in that camp, I think that Seattle should, because of how well KJ Wright played a year ago, because of the signal it would send to everybody else in Seattle's locker room, and the fact that, frankly, I just don't see another player that I think is capable of playing that strong side linebacker position as well as KJ Wright did a year ago. I really like a lot of the talent at the off-ball linebacker position in this year's draft, but I don't see many guys that have the length, the physicality that KJ Wright provides you. And I do not believe that would put a player like Jordan Brooks, obviously last year's first-round pick, in the best position to succeed. I don't think that Cody Barton or Ben Burkervin, similarly, are also physically built to play that type of same position. So to me, strong side linebacker, whether it be KJ Wright or some other type of player, some other type of addition to the roster, I think that is a critical position for this club as well.
To me, it's got to be the corner if we're looking on defense. And I know they just re-signed Demaryius Randall. They're going to let him compete. They brought in Akella Witherspoon. DJ Reed had a really solid second half. They still are high on Trey Flowers going into the final year of his contract. But what I see is a bunch of players that are not under contract after this season. And the big reason for that is because the Seahawks haven't made any big investments. They have spent minimal money at that position, and maybe they'll get away with it because Pete Carroll and his staff have done such a good job coaching up corners over the years. Maybe they'll survive with the group that they have after losing Shaquille Griffin and Quentin Dunbar in free agency. But I still think you got to kick the tires around seeing if there's a possibility that Richard Sherman wants to come back, especially after the draft, assuming he remains unsigned. The player himself expects to still be unsigned till after the draft. I think you got to explore that, and you certainly got to be looking at some of the guys that are available in this draft. I don't think it's the strongest corner class I've ever seen, but there's certainly some long, athletic corners that fit what Pete Carroll wants on the outside that will be available for Seattle to take a look at, maybe even in the second round, which would be the earliest they've picked a corner under Pete Carroll and John Schneider. But I think they've absolutely got to find a long-term answer at that position. Maybe one of the players on the roster, like DJ Reed or Akella Witherspoon, ends up becoming that player, and that'd be great news for Seattle. But I think they've got to find a young option that they're going to be able to bring in on a rookie contract that they can develop with all those players set to hit free agency next year.
You do have some comfort, as you mentioned, with Seattle having the track record of developing players, especially mid and late rounders at that position. But at the same time, the NFL is very clearly a passing league anymore. And I believe that Shaquille Griffin proved himself over the last couple of years to truly be one of the top dozen or so corners in the NFL. And the fact that he is now in Jacksonville and not in Seattle, I think that that is a significant departure there for the Seahawks, and they are going to have to be able to bring somebody in, because I just don't see the lockdown caliber corners on their roster at this point. Now, that said, with an improved pass rush, it's a lot easier to play cornerback, and again, Seattle's track record speaks for itself, but at the same time, that has definitely been a significant loss. Now, I kind of mentioned one of the other concerns that I had before with the offensive line and keeping Russell Wilson happy, keeping him upright, and I still think that center is the biggest priority, but we've been talking about this for a couple of years now, Corbin, that they really do need to find some type of successor for Dwayne Brown, especially at the left tackle position, just because of the fact that he's aging. Brandon Shell is not quite as old, but only has one more year on his contract, and I just don't see the young talent being groomed yet at the offensive tackle position. So to me, again, this is another quality offensive tackle class. You only have the three draft picks, of course. As it stands right now, I do not believe that offensive tackle is such a need that you have to take one of those, you have to invest one of those three draft picks, if that's all they have, in an offensive tackle. But it certainly would make a lot of sense, given the fact that, again, this is a quality group and that you don't have to have that player start immediately. They would have some time to be able to learn from two quality pros, two durable pros in Dwayne Brown and Brandon Shell.
And I think that's why it's probably more likely we'll see Seattle pick a tackle on day three with one of those two selections, the fourth round or even the seventh rounder, because there is a lot of depth at that position this year. And I've been combing through, looking at a number of players that maybe I hadn't seen play going into this process. And there are still some really solid prospects that, with a year to develop, could end up being quality NFL tackles. They are going to be available on day three. And so I don't think you have to push the issue with your second round pick. You can look at other needs and other position groups. Now, if the right guy falls, then you absolutely take best player available if it's a tackle. That's going to be on the table for the Seahawks too. I think the other need, and you and I probably both would agree on this one, I think this is one that we probably both have on our list. For me, you got to get one more receiver for Russell Wilson. And I'm more leaning towards the draft at this point, because this is another really loaded receiver draft class. And I would even go as far as saying, behind center, that might be the second position that I am looking at with that second round pick. Maybe it's going to be a third rounder after they trade down inevitably, but that first selection, whenever they end up making it, I think receiver is probably second on my list, just because of the talent that is in this draft class. You could have some guys that in other years might be late first, early second rounders that are there end of the second, early third. And so I think you capitalize that on that and put another playmaker with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. There are some free agents out there as well, but I think that third receiver position is still a significant area of need.
Oh, I agree. I think that, again, we saw what Shane Waldron did with the Los Angeles Rams and just the creativity that they showed. And so I think that this wide receiver class is really, really good in that regard. You know, I've been kind of bullish on the idea of drafting one of these kind of mighty might type of a player. It's like a Rondale Moore from Purdue, an Elijah Moore from Ole Miss, guys like that. But you don't have to necessarily take one of those players at number 56 overall, because there are a lot of really good dynamic kind of slot receivers that can take the ball, make some people miss, even be pretty physical themselves, almost Golden Tate-like, with some of the players I think are likely to be available in the fourth or sixth round. Again, I think that if you only have the three selections, as Seattle currently has, then that would, in my opinion, be one of the biggest areas of concern that the club still has to address. And then if they are, of course, able to acquire more draft picks, then again, there's such talent in this a wide receiver this year that Seattle should be able to take full advantage of that.
When we come back in the third quarter, we're going to continue talking NFL draft. We are going to flip back to defense, looking at the safety position. Maybe not an area of significant need for the Seahawks, but we learned last year that doesn't always stop them from picking certain position groups. They might be looking more than a year down the road. So we'll talk safeties that may interest Seattle in the second, fourth, and seventh rounds. When we return, you're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back, 12s. This is your host, Corbin Smith, joined by Rob Rang here on our Wednesday edition of Locked On Seahawks, April 19th through the 26th. Listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason Lockenfora, and Brian Baldinger, our local experts for every team making trades and picking the next stars of their team. Subscribe to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is the audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's AUDACY. Continuing our draft prospect preview series, we're going back to the defensive side of the football. And I think, Rob, you and I would agree, if there's a position the Seahawks are probably not likely to make a selection given their limited draft capital, it's probably the safety position because you do have Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs returning. You gave an exclusive rights tender to Ryan Neal. Demarius Randle has played safety as well. They've got pretty good depth at that position. That being said, we thought that about linebacker last year, and then they went and used a first-round pick on Jordan Brooks. So you never know what's going on in the mind of John Schneider. Let's look at some prospects with each of Seattle's three picks that might make sense for the team at the safety position. We'll start in the second round, and some of our listeners might be like, what is with you in Syracuse defensive backs? Because I've talked up Trill Williams. I've talked up Melifonwu, the two big corners, long-arm corners that fit Seattle's scheme. But they've also got a safety that I really like in Andre Sisko. Now, I think Sisko is one of the biggest wild cards in this draft because he is coming off a torn ACL that limited him to just two games in 2020. But you look at the production, 13 interceptions in the last 3 years for the Orange. This guy is a ball hawk, extremely instinctive. He can play single deep coverage. He's going to fly all over the place and make plays. Not a great tackler, not the most sound fundamentally in that aspect of his game, but his ball skills and his instincts, to me, make him one of the best safeties in this class. And I think with his injury, there's a chance that he might be available in the second or third round. And so while I don't think the Seahawks are going to be picking a player like Sisko, he would certainly fit the bill as a potential heir apparent if they decided to let Quandre Diggs walk after the 2021 season.
I'm going to go with another free safety type that has that straight line speed that I think really might intrigue Seattle because I see a lot of guys who have the long arms that are big physical defenders. Like you mentioned with Ryan Neal and of course with Diggs, with Adams, Marquise Blair as well. But I don't see a lot of guys who have legit 4.3, 4.4 straight line speed. Tyree Gillespie from Missouri has that. He's got a couple of plays on tape that are just special, that you just see Earl Thomas-like tracking ability. And so he is one that I don't know that he is worth the number 56 overall selection. I talked to some clubs out there who think he's more in that fourth round mix. But to me, he's intriguing. And so I could see him as being kind of a guy that is, lying in the weeds a little bit that could wind up being a late day two selection that would make some sense just because his skill set, his straight line speed especially, is a little bit different than some of the other safeties that's currently on Seattle's roster.
Kind of like when we were talking edge rushers on a recent episode. To me, fourth and seventh round, that is more in the wheelhouse where if the Seahawks are going to take a safety, that's where they'll do it. That's where they will do it. That being said, they'll probably pick in the second round now a safety since we know how John Schneider operates. But for me in the fourth round, I'm going to cheat a little bit here because you mentioned safeties converted to corner. Well, I'm going to take a player here in the fourth round that actually was a corner at the college level, but he's being projected as a safety in the NFL. And that's Sean Wade out of Ohio State, who's a little over 6 foot tall, 196 pounds, 33-plus inch arms. I mean, he's got the size and the length that Pete Carroll drools about when he is thinking about outside corner. He fits that prototypical build that Pete Carroll wants at the position, but he got burned a bunch last year. He really struggled when they moved him to the outside, and some of it might have been because he was dealing with a nagging turf toe injury. I've had that injury before, and it significantly impacts your performance, but he got burned downfield. He has his issues fundamental-wise, but again, who is the one coach that you believe in that can really fix a player like that that's got all the raw tools and just needs coached up? It's Pete Carroll in the secondary. So I think Sean Wade, when you look at the fact that this is a sub 4.35 40-yard dash, a guy that has 37-inch vertical, I mean, he has all the athletic and size tools, and he did some good things at Ohio State. I just want to see his game become more well-rounded and more fundamentally sound. And Pete Carroll can do that, and he's proven that throughout his coaching career. So Sean Wade to be a player in the fourth round that I think has a ton of upside and could be a steal if he's able to take to coaching.
I'm going to kind of go on with that same kind of line of thinking as far as who are some of the players that Seattle has had great success with in the past. And, you know, I mentioned Earl Thomas a moment ago, another arguably the better player, more consistent player at the safety position for Seattle during that Legion of Boom, of course, was the great Cam Chancellor. And, you know, you think of Cam Chancellor back in his days at Virginia Tech, and they've got another really big safety now, Divine Diablo, 6'3", 220-plus pounds, that to me is another one of those guys that can be kind of that banger, that guy who's going to come down, drop down in the box, and be that run enforcer, but also has surprising athletic ability, has surprising ball skills as well. So again, he's another one of those players I mentioned before with Tyree Gillespie. I could see him going second round. I could see him going in the fourth. You talk to some clubs, they think that Divine Diablo could wind up being the second round. They could see him being there in the fourth. I think that he's more of that box safety, and that could push him down the board. I think Seattle is already pretty stacked at the safety position, but Diablo is one of those guys who makes an awful lot of sense because he checks a lot of those Seahawk boxes.
Now let's move to the seventh round. Again, this is where I would think it would be most likely, especially if the Seahawks end up amassing 5, 6 or more draft picks by trading down several times or trading a future pick to get back into the draft. This is where I could see them taking a flyer on a safety. And the player that I put down here, this is going to sound ironic because it's a big bodied, powerful safety that likes to play in the box that comes from LSU. It kind of sounds like Jamal Adams. Now, he is not the same player as Jamal Adams. There's a reason he's available in the seventh round, and that's Jacoby Stevens. Again, not overly athletic. He ran a 4.62 40-yard dash at LSU's pro day at around 212 pounds. So he doesn't have the speed or quickness that Jamal Adams had coming out of LSU, but he did have a 42-inch vertical jump. So he's an explosive athlete. This is a guy that loves to come up in the box. He'll nail you, hit you. He's got plus ball skills being a former receiver as well. So that's kind of an intriguing thing to add to his skill set. I think he's going to be a guy that can come in and immediately make an impact on special teams. And as far as biggest upside, he could end up becoming a very good reserve safety, which when you look at the fact Jamal Adams missed some time last year, he's had some injuries, might be a good idea to have another big-bodied box safety that could come in and fill the gap for him if he has to miss some time. So Stevens, to me, would be a player that makes a lot of sense in the seventh round.
To me, one of the defensive backs that I think has a chance to slip that I think is absolutely an NFL player would be Sean Davis from Florida. This is just a really physical football player who, unfortunately, you mentioned that ugly I word, injuries. Sean Davis has struggled with injuries throughout his career. He's missed at least one game, and two of the past 3 years, he's missed multiple games, but he's missed at least one game for 3 years in a row. Then he goes to his pro day and pulls a hamstring during his pro day workout. I mean, the lack of durability from him is alarming, but at the same time, he is a highly physical player. He is a very reliable open field tackler. He has that kind of alpha dog kind of mentality that I know that Seattle has prioritized in the past, especially at the safety position. He has a little bit of that positional versatility, can play back, can play up front as well. I think that he should go in the fourth or fifth round, but the struggles with durability could push him all the way into the later rounds. To me, I think that he's got a chance to be a surprise for some club, even though he's been a terrific player playing at all SEC level throughout most of his career.
You can follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can follow Rob at Rob Rang. Follow Locked On Seahawks on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Coming up on our Thursday show, I'm going to be taking a look at a few free agents left in the market that could be good fits for the Seahawks. Plus, I'm going to be examining some of the athletic thresholds that the Seahawks look at a variety of different positions as the draft quickly approaches. Thanks for listening in. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Go Hawks.